The show, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So in the meeting at the city council last time, city council president Delarian Wiggins made the comment that the trees on 12th Avenue right there by Marketplace, which is across from the new Sacred Heart facility and kind of where Summit comes in, have been trimmed. But the word he used was butchered. And I drove by there and I agree with his assessment. It looks horrible. And it kind of goes on that way down towards like the almost down to Carpenter Creek. It's not quite as bad in some of those areas, but it's really bad. But my understanding is, you know, FPL, they have the right, they have the power, they have the easement, they do what they want, you know, they hack and chop, and we don't really have a lot of power to push back. But I heard, you know, David Forte is going to meet with them from, you know, your administration. So what leverage, power, persuasion, I mean, how do we prevent this from happening there again or anywhere else like that again?
Yeah, I think if we were to you know, try to improve processes, again, what minimally we can do as a city in terms of what's legally allowed. Obviously, we're notified by FPL when there's going to be cutting, but it's not, we're not getting a limb-by-limb diagram of exactly how they're going to do it. You know?
Sure,
so
yeah, that's funny.
Some contractors are, I guess, would be more mindful, more respectful than others. Those aren't contractors necessarily that we have a choice with. We're going to look into this one because I agree with Councilman Wiggins and your assessment on it. It doesn't look good. And, you know, and again, these are things that we ask our citizens to have a certain level of respect and expectation about how they trim or, yeah, or remove trees. And that comes up almost once a week, probably across one of our desks in terms of a removal that shouldn't have happened or an assessment by our arborist. And so it's okay that, you know, we're limited and we understand the premise behind it, obviously providing power with these overhead power lines. But at the end of the day, we should hold people to the same expectation, companies as we do citizens, in the best way that we can. So I think how we can improve processes is we're going to have better communication and better checks coming through. And I think we're going to do an internal assessment about who's doing this work for FPL and make sure that, you know, when we have someone that maybe isn't doing it up to what we expect, that we have a conversation beforehand. So, yeah, as you said, I'd love to tell you that there's something we could do. We could stop this or do that. It's part of an agreement that, you know, we don't really, our hands are a little bit tied, but that doesn't mean we're going to just be complacent and accept it looking the way that it looks, you know, especially for the future. So
it seems,
we'll do the best that we can.
Yeah, no, and I know that this is the thing we're upset about right now, but it seems like this might be an opportunity to do a completely different thing. And that is, you know, the real solution here, of course, is undergrounding. Right. That, I mean, it you know, yeah, and of course the barrier is cost. But look, FPL seems interested in storm resiliency. They well know the cost of responding to storms and, you know, taking care of these things afterwards. They have expressed an interest in undergrounding utilities around the area. And certainly undergrounding utilities seems to me like a great cost savings for the state in terms of storm response. You know, possibly there might be federal money. It seems like there might be a lot of even insurance money. Like there's a lot of different possible pots of money that could come, sure, together. And though what we're, you know, A, trying to do is protect the trees and the beauty thereof, the B is, and think of all the other great things we can accomplish here. It seems like this would be the time to maybe try to push for something like that more.
Yeah, well, if you're curious, my estimate of what it would cost to underground city control is about $300 million. Now, what's built within that undergrounding cost and how it's estimated by FPL or any other utility is they actually put a credit towards that overall cost because of exactly what you said, to say, well, let's say the city was just going to do it or the county was just going to do it, but they give a credit towards what that cost would be because of exactly what you mentioned, which is, hey, if this goes underground, that's that much less money in repair that we have to do long term, other cost savings in perpetuity that gives a credit. You know, let's say it's $220 million after that credit. And so it's expensive. And of course, during all those the franchise conversations that, you know, we know that Destin had negotiated some of that. And those are early conversations we're having. You know, we hired a utility attorney to have those conversations with FPL. You know, we're in the very early stages and we've had conversations about priorities to the city, you know, things that we would want to see if we were to commit ourselves to 30 years. So, you know, we're having those early conversations right now. And of course, as you can imagine, undergrounding is one of those big pieces, is what would be charged for undergrounding, and where would those prime areas
priority
be?
Areas, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So it's a lot. I mean, it's a heavy lift, no question about it. But we all know the value that would bring, not only from situations like you're talking about today, which are more day to day, but of course when we have any kind of storm or catastrophe.
Right. And by the way, I'm asking this because I want to make sure this doesn't wind up being the thing that we have to, gnash our teeth about after the fact. They understand the tree tunnel at 12th Avenue, right? That's not going to be something that, like, we're not going to wake up one day and discover that they trimmed those trees and, oh my God, same thing happened there, right?
No. And actually, there's specific, if you get deep into city ordinance and code, there's specific language around those trees.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it doesn't exist anywhere in the city, but I've seen it, and not because of this, just for years past. I've seen it, and there's specific language protecting touching or doing anything to those trees. So
that's what I figured. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
Look, I think we need to improve our. At the end of the day, I always look for opportunities for improvement for us, right? And that doesn't mean just because it's easy to say, hey, this is out of our control. This is what FPL is allowed to do. Sorry.
Right,
easy to say.
Right.
But there's probably some steps we can take long term and just procedural to make sure that, that we can be as on top of this and control as much as we can. And I want to be clear, it's not as if FPL is not willing to, they met with us, they're working with us. They understand. It's not, they're not just walking away and saying we don't care. So, we're going to work with them as best we can and try to figure out better processes.
They haven't had great success at the PR. Let's just say it that way over the last bit of time. Now, right. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. Hang on for me for just a second, sir. Let's get Canyon here with Traffic on the Fives.
Traffic on the Fives brought to you by David's Catfish. They're on Dogwood Drive in Milton and showing an accident North Century Boulevard, Hudson Hill Road, and McCall Road in Century. Looks like it's backed up at 29 right near the Whataburger and CVS. That's Route 4 and 29. So caution there. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. We announced previously that the Rusin government stop signs, those are in now. And I had been talking with you last week about the possibility of the one going in at Jefferson and Government near Seville Square there, where it's only a two-way stop now. You guys have an announcement you're making today?
Yeah, your wish is my command, Andrew. the government and Jefferson, we will be putting a four-way stop there at the corner, kind of where Seville Quarter in the northeast corner of Plaza Ferdinand is. You'll know this one if you've ever driven downtown, because it's the one where people stop anyway when they don't have the stop signs, and have been for as long as I remember growing up here. So, government's not meant to be a raceway. I mean, this is downtown traffic with a lot of pedestrian traffic, whether it be government buildings, the courthouse, Plaza Ferdinand, Seville Quarter. This road is very pedestrian heavy, and we're not trying to design it so someone can get up to 35 or 40 miles an hour over a two-block stretch. So, when we look at Roost, we also look at government, and again, data goes into this. We collect and see if it has a need for a lot of reasons, legal and otherwise, to make sure that it makes sense for us. We can't just go in and put one in. We have to look at what happens to traffic once that four-way stop hits. Where will traffic go now that this exists?
Right.
How will it negatively affect us? So there's a lot that goes into a decision. I know it just sounds like we could go to Lowe's and get some concrete and put a stop sign in, but there's a lot that goes into it. But these two were very much needed when we look at the assessment. So I'm excited for that. I think now there's some clear expectations that you stop there, and I think it's only going to be safe.
No, it'll be. I think this is a good choice. It definitely makes sense there. I know you can't tell me the answer, but I guess today at your press conference, an unusual Wednesday afternoon when you're going to unveil the street sweepers, we're going to get to see them, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm excited.
I appreciate everybody's patience. We didn't want to just announce the names. We wanted to be able to see them. So. They'll be at City Hall today at 1:00. So, bring your camera, and I'll give you one sneak preview, which is we had three winners. Of course, we had three street sweepers.
Right.
Well, I took a small bit of executive privilege and then added a fourth.
Interesting plot twist.
So we'll have a. We already had a fourth sweeper. We just included three. So. So we'll actually have four new names.
Oh, nice. Oh, no, I'm really excited to find all this stuff out. Hey, TSA checkpoint upgrades. If I'm running the TSA, what I decide to do is come do upgrades to the system and improvements right in the middle of the busiest month of the entire year for Pensacola Airport. But now we're going to, with stuff's on pause at least for a little while. Is that right?
Yeah. And, you know, I try to tell people myth bust a little bit and say, you know, if you assume that the city of Pensacola, the Pensacola Airport, would like to have, you know, technology upgrades at TSA during the middle of the summer, that would be an incorrect assumption. But what I can tell you is how it works is we need to get these things modernized, keeps us safe, actually, in the end, moves us through faster,
right,
with new technology, the new equipment. You know, we're kind of strongly suggested about when that's going to happen. And if we don't choose a certain time, you know, we wait and we don't know when that would happen. So we've worked with them. It has been painful. And I sympathize with people and certainly gotten plenty of messages of their frustration at the length of the line. We've been trying to tell everybody get there 2 hours before if you don't have TSA pre-check for sure. I would continue to do that, but we've pled with TSA and they've obliged. We are having a delay. We're going to kind of do a step down with some of this equipment through the 4th of July weekend. So we're pausing that. We're keeping what we've got right now. And then we have some more equipment coming on in August. So we should see a little bit of pressure release from really today through the rest of the summer until kids are back in school. So, so we're doing, again, kind of like the first topic. You know, we're doing everything we can within the realm of what we've been given to try to make this as seamless and as painless as possible. So we know how frustrating it is to travel and the inconvenience of traveling and long lines. So totally sympathize with everybody. So we are trying to take that little step and do the best we can to help.
I feel like the job of mayor is a little bit like, you know, being dad in a household. And, you know, the kids that you're not even really responsible for are breaking stuff. And you're like, oh, you know, like, yeah, it's not my fault. What do we do? How do we solve this? All right. We always like to end.
I mean, it'd be like parking in red parking lots. For example. You know, I get more emails about that.
That's exactly right.
I have nothing to do with it.
All right. We always like to end with a little bit of a lightning round. First question for you is, in your household, in the Reeves household, do you have specific days of the week, like Spaghetti Monday, Taco Tuesday? Do you have a specific days assigned to specific foods so that you always know, like a cafeteria, what's coming on that day? Do you have any of that?
No. You know, growing up, we would always do some kind of grill out on Sunday. But schedule's too hectic for me to be able to commit to the same thing on the same day, but that's all right. Variety is the spice of life.
When DC Reeves has to take a pill or a vitamin or a prescription or whatever, what do you use to wash it down, or do you dry swallow?
Oh my God, no. Something. You got to have something. I mean, preferably not even water. I've got to have something flavored.
Soda or a tea, coffee, beer.
I would say some kind of, like, you know, lemonade or soda or something like that. You
okay.
Know, like, I have my choice.
And last question. This is the most important question I'm going to ask you all this week. Do you believe that Ryan Seacrest is going to be successful at hosting Wheel of Fortune?
No, because you don't want to follow the guy that's done it for 40 years.
I think
the demographic of the show, the age of the show versus Seacrest's demographic is going to be an issue.
I'm just saying.
I mean, I feel like I'm on Entertainment Tonight, but that's exactly how I feel right now. I think that's going to be – you never want to follow the guy, you know? I think that's always going to be a struggle.
Yeah, the loyal 70-year-old fan base may not be so attached to him, and it's not like he's bringing a whole bunch of 40-somethings with him. I think that's the same concern.
That's exactly right.
And, yeah, you never want to be the first replacement to follow on legend, right? DC Reeves,
right.
Mayor of Pensacola, as always, sir, thanks for the time. We look forward to the press conference today and seeing those cool new street sweepers and their new wraps on them. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
You